Joining us now, he's the director of instruction down at Bay Hill, John O'Leary. John, what's going on this morning?
A sunscreen if you're in Orlando. It's pretty nice again.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, you know, so let's talk about that. So how's the weather been as we've been heading up to the Arnold Palmer Invitational?
Well, probably 6 weeks ago when you had lousy weather, we too actually had a few days of lousy weather where it was quite chilly, but somehow our guys that are in agronomy knew that that was going to happen, and they spread some magic pixie dust, and the golf course is in spectacular condition.
Now, has the course changed at all since we saw it this time last year? I mean, have any trees down or anything, you know, bunkers been reconfigured, or is it exactly as we expect it to be?
It is, to the casual observer, identical to how it was last year. The bunkers are all the same. We did lose a tree that most of the male members are not disappointed that we lost on the third hole. The pros would have never seen the tree. They would have hit over it or, you know, beyond it every time. And there's one tree that we lost to the right of the 16th hole that now gives some members a little hope that they could maybe reach the green in two, but they can't from in amongst the other trees that are still there.
Now, I mean, are you conflicted about this tournament this time? I mean, does it, you know, with your O'Leary-ness, having it on St. Patrick's Day, I mean, is this an issue for you?
No. Every year during the Invitational, we seem to have St. Patrick's Day, so it's fine. There's a lot of people that'll be walking around enjoying some good golf, thinking that they're Irish, and that's okay.
All right, so as we look at last year, I mean, Mark Leishman wins at 11 under par. You know, some fairly reasonable score, 71-66, 71-69. So it doesn't really seem like anybody went really low last year. I mean, there were a couple 65. So with the weather and the magic pixie dust that the boys put down, tell me a little bit about course conditions in terms of rough, because in the Florida swing so far, we've seen some pretty gnarly rough.
You'll see more gnarly rough next week, that's for sure. The rough is as lush and as dense as I think I've ever seen it in all my years here. And the greens, we were on the putting green a little earlier with the lesson, and the greens are rolling very nice. And, you know, they're going to be nice and firm. I don't think we're maybe expecting a little weather tomorrow, but I don't think from what they forecast that it should be too much rain. And I think come Thursday, they'll have it pretty much in full bloom the way they'd like to have it.
Now, did you guys have a rye overseed? I mean, I'm not sure which pixie dust your guys used. And is the course, is the short grass slick right now?
Well, the entire golf course, except the greens, is overseeded with rye back in November. And, you know, so it's a process that starts back in November. And, you know, they want it to kind of gradually continue to improve. And it was. But then right after the cold snap, that's when they put down some different fertilizer. And the rough really has flourished. I mean, the weather was like in the low to mid 80s for almost a month, and we had very little rain. And so the agronomy staff was putting down the water that they wanted or thought they needed, and it's really in spectacular condition.
All right, so was there a I guess more of a buzz? I mean, you kind of had a feeling it was coming, but when Tiger Woods officially announced that he was playing last week and obviously at the API, did it create a little bit more of a buzz than you've had the last couple of years?
I suppose, you know, it has to. I mean, and he's Tiger Woods, you know, so it certainly has had an effect at the other Florida Swing events thus far. He, you know, in years past when he's been here, the crowds are always like the biggest they've been. And so now, you know, in amongst his comeback and playing so well so far this week over in Tampa, yeah, I would say people were, you know, a little more excited about it. But people are also excited to see Rory come back, Ricky Fowler, you know, Mark Leishman coming back. I mean, there's a lot of other people that the fans of Orlando are happy to see, but certainly, you know, once upon a time, Tiger was an Orlando resident, and as we all know, he's got the biggest crowds in golf.
Yeah, I mean, 8-time champion, does that get him a front row parking spot?
Well, you know, I don't get to see the parking spots in the parking lot during the week, so I'm pretty sure, though, he doesn't have to walk too far.
Well, we're talking to John O'Leary. He's the director of instruction down at Bay Hill, hosting the Arnold Palmer Invitational this next week. And I'm curious, looking at the scorecard, and you know, you get out and you play these courses all the time. You've got the hardest hole, at least by handicap, is the sixth. But where do the pros tend to struggle when they get on this golf course? I mean, where can we see some carnage? I'm always into the carnage. I want to know where I can look to see guys implode, because I do more imploding than not on the golf course, so I want something I can relate to.
Well, I can relate to that myself. So I would say on the front nine, the holes where, you know, one bad swing and you're going to make a double bogey would be 3, 6, and kind of the sleeper of the front nine as far as potential carnage would be the eighth hole, because there's a pond in front, there are trees to the right. You know, so those would be on the front nine. Then on the back nine, 11 is a hole that gives our members fits all the time, and if a pro misses the fairway there, that could again create a problem. And then, you know, 17 and 18. But those are probably pretty obvious ones.
So John, when you're out playing the golf course, is there one shot that gives you angst, and is there another shot that you just love to hit on this golf course?
Well, of course, you know, I don't get to play very often. I'm always teaching.
Yeah.
You know, at least that's what I keep telling my wife.
Absolutely.
But the shot, I suppose, you know, the shot that doesn't necessarily set the tone, but it can help. If you hit a nice second shot into the first hole, or if I hit a nice second shot into the first hole, it is kind of a nice way to start, because it's a long second shot to a somewhat narrow green from as far back as I'd be hitting into it. But no, other than that, I've been here 23 years now, so I've hit most of them well, and I've hit most of them bad. So if I hit a bad one, I try to be optimistic that, you know, there are more opportunities to come.
So when we look at this and how the course is laying out, and as you said, it's in just absolutely magnificent condition, a great field, what kind of a number can we expect on Sunday? I mean, if you were not in the final group, is there a number you could sit on and feel comfortable drinking a few beers and not worry about a playoff?
Well, last year, Leishman shot 11 under. I don't know. I would think the way the weather's forecast, it should be nice. I didn't see that there was a lot of wind. So, I don't know. I think if you were 14 or 15 under starting off, you might like your chances come Sunday afternoon, early evening.
Yeah, so John, what's the key on this golf course? I mean, is it the tee shot? Is it the approach shot to the green? I mean, we all know that seems like the guy that makes the most putts is going to be the guy that wins. But in order to get onto the green, you know, you have to hit decent tee shots. And is it more placement off the tee? Is it distance off the tee? Or is it just, you know, fairways and greens and making some putts?
Well, I think this year the key is going to be to leave yourself in a position where you can hit the green, whether, you know, you're in the fairway, which obviously increases the probability of hitting the green, or if you miss it, the fairway, being able to give yourself some sort of angle to the green where, you know, you'd have the opportunity to two putt for a par and, you know, make an opportunity for a birdie elsewhere. It's really I would say they've got to avoid making a double bogey. I mean, they're going to be bogeys next week. Nobody's going to play next week and not make a bogey.
All right, well, we're on with John O'Leary, the head of instruction down at Bay Hill, and I want to take you out to your teaching facility where your wife thinks you spend most of your time. Are your students any smarter than golfers here in the Carolinas? I mean, are they coming out to you saying, hey, you know my dream? I really want to get better at my short game. Or do they come to you and say, I want 20 more yards on my drive?
Well, there are a few that want to get their short games better. I've had a couple down from the Carolinas. But, yeah, everyone wants to hit it further, for sure.
All right, so let's take that and run with it for a second. So there's a lot of debate about the golf ball going too far. You're there at the green grass level. I mean, are people talking about the golf ball and it going too far, or is this just something that's kind of gotten a foothold and everybody seems to be picking up on it from a media perspective?
Well, I don't have any students in recent memory that have complained that the golf ball's going too far. And I can tell you that mine don't go too far, unless they are headed towards one of those ponds or lakes that we mentioned earlier. I think the thing that is lost on the media or whoever is the agronomy and what's happening to golf courses as far as a maintenance. I mean, when you watch a golf tournament, whether it's today, tomorrow, or next week, watching our tournament, watch how far the ball rolls when it bounces, how high it bounces in the air. The members here aren't going to play our golf course as firm and as fast as the crew will have it set up for next week. So, yeah, I mean, these guys hit it further, but they're really, really good, and they're swinging with a lot of club head speed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I was going to say,
grow the rough, make hitting the rough or the fairway more of a premium.
Well, that's what I was going to, you know, I've talked about that a lot is, you know, if we don't want the, you know, and it's the tour, you know, we're talking about, well, do we have one ball for the tour players and one ball for everybody else? But like you said, I mean, you watch some of these tournaments and, you know, the golf ball is hitting and rolling 50 yards. I mean, you know, last year at the U.S. Open at Erin Hills, I mean, we watched the golf ball roll 50, 60, 70 yards after it landed. You know, in your opinion, I mean, like you said, your guys probably don't play it as firm and fast as the tour players are going to play it. So do we need to start making sure that the greens are firm, the fairways are softer, so that we're maybe getting 10 yards a roll instead of 50 yards a roll, bring the fairways in a little bit, have a decent, you know, amount of rough, and make it more difficult, not necessarily longer or shortening the golf ball?
Yeah, I don't really know that golf courses need to be any longer. I mean, you could certainly argue that for the tour pros, but, you know, to your point, if the fairways were a little softer and the greens were firmer, that would make it more difficult. But, I mean, keep in mind, too, even if you do that, they mow the fairways here at Bay Hill with the sort of mowers that they mowed greens with in Mr. Palmer's heyday. So, I mean, there's less drag on the golf ball once it hits the ground. And with launch monitors and the different technology, I mean, we know how you have to launch it and how you have to spin it to make it go far. I mean, there are always going to be people that are going to hit it far.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a slippery slope to start talking about, you know, changing things mechanically across the game. I mean, we want amateurs to hit it further. We do want, I mean, that's we need to draw people into the game. And just like we talk about, people like hitting the ball a long way. So, you know, if there were a change to be made with the technology of the equipment, I don't know. I wouldn't be against doing that for the pros. I mean, it's like wood bats in the major leagues versus other places. I wouldn't be against it, but I'm with you guys. I mean, I think you can set these courses up to play more difficult for these guys so that they are not so free to swing all out every time.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't want to change. I don't want them rolling back the distance on my ball. Come on now.
No. No, geez. With every birthday I get, I'm getting shorter and shorter.
Well, John, man, we really love talking to you, and I hope you have a great week out there at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and we'll be looking forward to watching on TV.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
And happy St. Patrick's Day.
There you go.
Thank you. Same to you guys.